He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning. This is Jada Markin with Car Keys. I have a guest here with me today, Alice. Alice Peck is a local younger car enthusiast, and will be replacing Robin today, who is on a road trip. We'll hear all about it when he gets back. So in the meantime, we've got Alice here, and Alice and I have had many car conversations, taking it on the air now. Alice, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. What's new in your car world?
You know, not much.
What do you drive, first of all?
I drive a 2022 base trim Subaru Impreza.
Why do you always insist on the base trim? What's wrong with the base trim?
I never insist on the base trim, but the base trim is good for simplicity.
Simplicity is good.
Simplicity is always very good.
Subarus were meant to be simple.
They were.
Some of them aren't so much anymore. I have a Subaru Forester as Robin would say, in my fleet, and it seems like it has no more rear-wheel drive, which defeats the whole purpose of having a Subaru. And I'm hoping it's not a huge issue, even though we've gone through winter, but we'll see. I haven't brought it into a shop yet.
Well, you know, the Subaru all-wheel drive system is one of the best.
It's supposed to be all-wheel drive all the time. A lot of these little SUVs and cars are basically front drives with the rear wheels being engaged only when the front wheels start slipping. And the Subaru system, as is the Audi, or was the Audi until very recently, is an all-wheel drive all the time. The problem with that is it tends to burn a little more fuel because you're constantly driving the shaft and the rear wheels, as opposed to a front drive only vehicle. But they still get great gas mileage, and they still work perfectly fine, I guess, until they don't. But, you know, other than that, it's a great car.
It's a great car. Before, I had a Ford Focus hatchback with just front-wheel drive, and that was quite a hazard living in New England.
Well, didn't you live down south then?
No, but I moved to Massachusetts within a year of having it.
Why would you do that?
Because I bought it in Georgia.
Why would you move to Massachusetts?
I went to college.
Oh, you went to college.
I went to college in Massachusetts.
All right. So you're freshly out of college. Well, not kind of.
It's been about 5 years.
So it's interesting to meet a younger person who really is that interested in cars. And believe me, Alice really is. And, you know, we can easily get on a tangent and get beyond the utilitarian Subarus of this world and talk about some fun cars. And spring is right around the corner, and we all either have fun cars or aspire to having fun cars. And I think Alice is one who is aspiring to have a fun car. What kind of cars do you like, Alice?
Well, my current favorite car is the first-generation Audi TT.
All right. So for people who are not familiar with the TT, and Alice can correct me if I'm wrong, the TT is a sporty model that Audi made or came out with in, what was it, early 2000s? It came out, I can't remember, I was alive then, and even a young adult, or maybe not so young. It came out first as a concept car at an auto show. I was going to ask Alice if she remembers that, but it would be hard for her to remember something that precedes her. But did you know that?
I was three.
Okay. So did you see the car at the auto show, that concept car?
I've seen pictures of it now.
Okay, so it was, and you know, like a lot of concept cars, I don't know if Audi actually knew that they were going to produce that car or not, but it was received with a lot of enthusiasm for the public, and they decided to put the car in production. And it comes in front wheel or all wheel drive, and a as a coupe or a convertible. And they made the first generation from what, early 2000s to?
It was 2000 to 2006 was the first generation.
And then the second gen?
2006 to 2010, I believe.
But that's not the one you...
No. They changed the way the front of it looks. And in my opinion, the first generation is the best-looking version.
Have you driven one?
I have driven one. I've driven an automatic version of the Audi TT, which there are few samples of, really, in the market. It's mostly a manual desired car.
Yep.
But it's a blast. It's super easy to drive, but it's very sporty, and it has a lot of pickup.
All right, we're going to help you get into one.
Sounds good to me.
So, and on the more utilitarian side of things, industry updates this week, not really a lot going on. A lot of first quarter sales reports have been in for a while now. We all know that electric car sales are down. We know that Tesla is really down. And I have read articles about the fact that Mr. Musk's personality and other endeavors have cost Tesla some sales, and that's undeniable. I just also read this morning that BYD, Build Your Dream, which Alice looks at me like, what in the world is that? Is or was the biggest electric car manufacturer in the world, and I think Robin and I have talked about it on this show. It's a Chinese car manufacturer, and they build cars that we do not yet see here in the U.S., but their sales were down like 40% in this quarter, and they sell mostly on the Chinese market. So I'm not sure why. Electric car prices have gone down significantly, and, you know, manufacturers are not sure where the market is going. I've read things that Ford is looking at building a small electric vehicle. Then again, GM did that with the Bolt and now stopped production. So who knows where the market is going? Alice, well, how do you feel about electric cars?
I think the technology of electric cars is still in progress.
Well, would you get an electric car?
I think eventually I would get an electric car. I think if I were to get another car, a daily driver kind of car now, it would be a hybrid. Just because...
But that's what everybody else is doing.
It is what everyone else is doing, and that's why I think a lot of car companies' EV divisions are being minimized, because they understand that most people are a little hesitant and reluctant to fully get invested in the EV.
So what would it take for you to get in a fully electric car to replace that magnificent Subaru Impreza?
I just want to see what is going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years.
You're going to drive a Subaru for the next 5 or 10 years?
I definitely can drive a Subaru for the next 5 to 10 years.
I'll agree with that. You could, yes.
I could. And I'm definitely of the mindset that using cars that are already been built is as equally good for the environment, maybe, as investing in an electric vehicle.
I remember we had this conversation recently. So how... But there's a growing demand for cars. I mean, I understand that the cars that have been built should keep running, and the reality is that cars have, and we've talked about this also, cars are way better built now than they were 20, 30, or 40 years ago. They're also a lot safer, but they're also a lot more complex. So, and technology is constantly evolving. All the electronics in these cars is still, you know, there's still a big question as to what's going to happen. I mean, think of car restoration shops that work on old cars nowadays. What are they going to do in 20, 30 years ago? They're just going to have work on electronics and so computer geeks.
Yes.
So maybe that'll be your field.
It's very possible. It's definitely going to be a big shift in that kind of mechanic versus, you know, computer technician.
Yep. It's already happening.
Also, you have to think about the longevity of the batteries that go into these.
Okay. And so what's your thought on the batteries?
Well, I just think we need to get to a point where they're more there's more of an ability to get longevity out of them.
The 100,000 miles that we think? think we're getting or that the manufacturers will guarantee. So we're back to the question of, we're talking about electric cars again, right? And we deviated from the thought of driving cars that are already out there, which can be ICE cars or electric cars. But so you want to drive older cars. You want us, everybody, to keep driving cars longer.
Well, I just see, these EV companies producing tens of thousands at a time of these new electric vehicles, and then they are sitting there, which in turn means the batteries are just sitting there. And then by the time that they're able to sell these cars, the technology has changed. So they're even better for the next time. There's constant advancements in this. So then they're constantly producing cars that are not going to be sold because people are just going to wait for the next one.
Well, and I think that's happening in the electric car business, right? Like people are waiting. People are waiting for more range. People are waiting on the evolution of battery technology and where we're getting all the where we're sourcing out the raw materials to produce them. But so while we're waiting, what are we going to drive? By the way, how about being driven? How do you feel about autonomous cars? Because my co-host Robin, and he's not here so we can talk about him, is really, if not opposed, really has issues with self-driving cars. And I do have to say, before I let you barge in on this one, I rode an Uber in North Carolina last week, and it was a pretty brand-new Model 3 Tesla. And the driver told me, I have a self-driving feature, which is now only $6,000 from Tesla, and it was 10, and then it went to 12, now it's 6. But they gave this driver 1 month free self-driving feature, and then they'll just turn off the switch. So I asked her, I said, hey, can we have the car drive itself to wherever I was going? And this was an urban environment at night. So it's one of the hardest things for a self-driving car to do. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed with the ability of the car to find its way to our destination. And at the end of the trip, the driver took control of the car again. And I thought, Tesla Autopilot is actually a smoother driver than this Uber driver. But I was really impressed.
I think the technology is very interesting. I think it's very cool. I do have a lot of reservations about it being utilized, more so abused by drivers. I've seen videos online of people sleeping while they have autopilot on, which I know is...
Well, yeah, you hang out with college kids, that's what happens. You go in the backseat of a Tesla and you drink and fall asleep and hope the car will take you back home.
I just worry that it's going to make people worse drivers than
they already are. That's going to be difficult. So here's my take on self-driving cars. I think the technology is constantly improving. We have level 1, level 2, level 3, and it goes all the way up to level 5, I think. And the norms for each of those levels is pretty complicated to understand. But I think the first level of fully automated driving cars is what we call level 3. And only Mercedes and I think Audi, but it's a couple of the luxury European manufacturers who have been certified as level 3 autonomous driving. And they're out in Europe, and I think Mercedes just got certified for one of its models here in the U.S. So we're going to see the first truly automated driving cars on the roads shortly. Tesla's autopilot is not a level 3, and you still have to keep the hands on the wheel and jiggle the wheel. So technology is evolving. I think it's a lot better than what it was even a couple of years ago. Like I said, I was really impressed with what it could do at stop sign and wait and look left and right, quote unquote, and I could see traffic coming and the car not going, and then no more headlights on either side, and the car went forward. So the reservation, okay, so back to why the reservations about, you know, its flaws or drivers being overconfident in the ability of these cars to drive themselves. I think they're consistent. They're better at the 95-97% of the drivers on the road. And they don't get distracted. They don't use their cell phones, which for some reason seems to be a problem with drivers. Distracted driving is leading cause, I believe, of crashes and certainly fatalities. And we know that the main distracted driving cause is the use of cell phones.
Absolutely. Which I think, you know, and this is goes to the concept of Uber and Lyft being a great option for people who are too drunk or too high, potentially, to be driving. If you do, if you have an automated vehicle that can just drive you home, you don't have to worry about the DUI situation.
Well, it's going to be a while before you can drink and not drive and be in the back seat and have no drivers in the car. I did read an article not too long ago, and admittedly, it was a sponsored article, so you know it was a form of advertising. But it was pretty well written, and it was about self-driving taxis in, I think it was Las Vegas. And I forget who it is. I can't even remember the car manufacturer. I think it's Hyundai, but I'm not 100% sure, and whatever self-driving feature they have. But they have a fleet of taxis, a limited fleet of taxis that will come and pick you up and drive you up or down the strip, and I think it's really limited to the strip in Las Vegas, but with no driver behind the wheel. And the conclusion of the article, quote-unquote, was that once people have experienced the self-driving features of a car, the confidence level goes way up, and they're then willing to try it again. And I have to say, that was my experience with the self-driving, you know, the Tesla self-driving features. Like, I was a passenger in the car, passenger, you know, twofold, because the driver was a passenger too. And again, yeah, I would try it again. Do I want to use a self-driving car to drive on our roads here locally? No, I'd much rather drive my little sports car that makes noise and, you know, row through the gears and enjoy the countryside. But there's a place for everything.
I think for me, I enjoy the tactile and physical experience of driving a vehicle and the lack of control that I would, the control I would have to give up to not be the one in control of the vehicle, I think is what my hesitation is for the car.
Okay, and I get that. Again, but I think, you know, we live in an area where it's actually fun to drive. We don't deal with traffic. The most cars we see at an intersection is like two or three, and when there are four and we have to wait for a few seconds, we start getting nervous. But go up and down I-95, and I'm sure, and I know you've done that a bunch of times.
Yes. I think for people who live in places who are commuting, for example, people who live in Los Angeles, who a lot of them do have the self-driving abilities in their Teslas, because everyone in California has to transition to the EVs. It is much more, I can understand it being utilized more in places like that, where you're sitting in stop-and-go traffic. You don't really need to be paying attention as much.
Yeah, and I've been preaching this all along, and even with much more basic self-driving features, you know, adaptive cruise control, that we find on most cars. Do you have that on your base Subaru?
I do not, but my dad has it in his.
Yes, and it works very well in the Volvo. I've driven, even a, I dro- I've been driving a Volvo that's 6 or 7 years old now, and it was one of the first cars to have that self adaptive cruise control. So it has the lane keeper, whatever that's called, and the adaptive cruise control where you can determine the distance with the car in front of you. And I remember being very impressed with how well it works. And by the way, I've driven high-end Subarus, high-level of finished Subarus, and they've had the same adaptive cruise control for 6 or 7 years. And it works pretty darn well in the Subaru, too.
I think it's something that's going to be a slow transition for me and potentially other people.
So let me ask you another question. Your Subaru's fairly new, right? Yeah, you said 2022. Where do you get it maintained and serviced? I mean, is it locally or do you bring it to a dealer?
I do locally.
You do it locally. And with Robin, we talk a lot about car maintenance and dealerships and shops. And I think there's one thing people need to know is that even if you have a new car or newish car, a car that's still under warranty, people are oftentimes led to believe that they have to bring the car back to a dealer for the warranty to be valid, and that is absolutely not the case. I remember, 10 years ago now, I went with my daughter and bought the most Subaru she could buy for her budget, and it was down in Long Island, 3 hours away, and I remember the sales guy telling us that, you know, not only did you not have to bring it into a dealership, but you could bring it to a shop, or you could do the maintenance yourself, and if you kept records of your what you did to the car and you followed the manufacturer's recommendations, the warranty would not be void. And
I think there is especially with going back to the electric vehicles, Tesla and other companies of that sort have made it so that you do have to go through them because it's not, again, dealing with a mechanic who's going to change your filters and change your oil and whatnot. It's a computer specialist who's going to...
So you're going to bring it to the computer store?
Essentially.
Just like your phone?
Yes.
So we'll be seeing you next in a electric car maintenance department?
Maybe. But if you bring Tesla anywhere else other than a Tesla dealership, it does void the warranty.
Does it really?
Yes.
Huh. I did not know that.
So they're setting a precedent that other EV companies or car companies could start doing that as well.
Well, maintenance on electric cars is different. There's obviously no engine. There's no oil change. But you still have to change tires, and you still have to do work on the brakes. And you still have to replace shock absorbers once in a while, like every 100,000 miles. And by the way, people are always frantic about brake jobs on their cars and get taken for a ride every time they need new brakes. But people often forget to change the shocks or have the shocks checked on their car. And that kind of would be my safety tip for the day, even though I've mentioned it. So when you get on the road, are you safety-minded?
Absolutely.
So what crosses your mind? What are your big safety issues, if I may say? And what?
I notice a lot of distracted driving that I try to be aware of. I try to, you know, it's a thing of you don't have control over other drivers, but you have control over yourself. So just being constantly aware of your surroundings.
So where should the phone be?
The phone should be down in the center console, but not in your hand.
And in most states, it's a legal thing. You can't even hold the device in your hand if you're driving. Alice, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. This Car Keys. We'll talk next week.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.